Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, February 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. The annual Festival of Mardi Gras starts next week, running from the 9th to Fat Tuesday on the 13th. And since many of us won't be making the trip to New Orleans, we'll bring the party to you. Chefs Rick Orlando and Hugh Horner are in the studio with us to share their Mardi Gras favorites. So get your beads ready. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. What a fine, fun show this will be. Smothered turkey necks, blackened string beans. Your calls, of course. It's coming up on Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Food Friday, don't you know? Mardi Gras runs from the 9th to Fat Tuesday on the 13th. And while New Orleans is the pinnacle of the celebration, we want to help people in our region get a taste of the annual tradition. To lead our foray into the culinary side of the party, our chefs Rick Orlando and Hugh Horner. Rick is the chef owner of New World Home Cooking Company in Saugerties and chef manager of New World Bistro Bar in Albany. You may have seen him taste victory on the Food Network's Chopped program, his PBS show Rick Orlando's TV Kitchen, or maybe you read his book, We Want Clean Food. Boasting Texas and Louisiana roots, Hugh is the executive chef at Helsinki Hudson. He also hosts a podcast titled Eat Food or Die. That's forceful. Rick and Hugh, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ray. How are you, bro?
Great to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
This is your first time on the show?
It is.
Okay, now you've done the podcast. The same thing.
Probably. Yeah, a little. I like the food everywhere.
It's gross.
I don't have that in my podcast, but
I look forward to Food Friday for that reason. And this, you guys have outdone yourselves. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you want to talk Mardi Gras cooking or anything with these guys, they know their stuff. It's 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Before we talk about what you have today and what you brought, let's find out a little bit about what's going on with Chef Rick Orlando.
Well, Ray, what's going on with me? I'm cooking up a storm.
Yep.
Next weekend, starting Friday through Tuesday, our special Mardi Gras weekend at both restaurants, both New Worlds, where we'll be cooking up a lot of traditional stuff. We make boudin.
What's boudin?
Boudin is this beautiful pork liver, rice sausage that kind of like, it's like pate meets breakfast sausage meets scrapple. It's really damn good.
Really?
Yeah. And then we've got swamp gumbo we make every year.
Oh, yeah. We've had that.
Yeah, that's with the crawfish, duck, crab.
No gator?
Shrimp, gator.
Yeah, the gator's
anything
good.
You can find in the swamp is in the gumbo. You know, jambalaya, bring in some redfish, bring in fresh crawfish. So we do that. And then the day after is Valentine's Day. So it's like shift gears and get fancy for a day.
Oh, pretty cool.
But that's a handful, but it's really good. And we've been doing it since we opened in 93. When we opened in 93, no one was doing any kind of Mardi Gras vibe for anything, and we started doing it, and now it's a tradition, and people love it, you know?
You're a trendsetter.
I don't know if I'm a trendsetter, but, you know, got to celebrate food whenever you can.
Hugh Horner, you are the chef at Helsinki Hudson, a first-timer on Food Friday, and how are things going at Helsinki Hudson?
They're going really well. I'm really happy. We're excited about Mardi Gras as well. We have some New Orleans music coming through.
Oh, yeah? Who do you have?
We have Glenn David Andrews. He's coming February 9th.
Oh, cool.
And
wow.
If you dig music, and then you dig New Orleans music, you got to be there.
So I've not been to Helsinki Hudson. So tell me about the layout. Now, there's a full stage, and then there are tables as well?
It is a universe. It's an event space. It's a restaurant. It's a music venue. We have a 75-seat courtyard. I have my smokers out there for barbecue. So it's a facility, that's for sure.
Facility.
Oh, well, that's
it is a facility.
Yeah.
Our number here on Food Friday is 800-348-2551. Chefs Rick Orlando and Hugh Horner are here. All right, you guys brought some food. We already tasted it. Let's start with Hugh. What did you bring?
I brought smothered turkey necks with onion gravy. We have some crawfish, cornbread, and sweet tea butter, and just some good old lemon rice.
Okay, tell us about the smothered turkey necks.
Well, there's a lot of tax brackets in New Orleans. And I enjoy food from this area of New Orleans the most, sort of the peasant cuts, if you will, the lesser expensive meats, oxtail, turkey necks. They're full of flavor. They're full of fat, which I dig. I hope you do, because you just ate it.
I think you know I do.
All right, right on. And, you know, it's the history behind, like, lagniappes and everything, going into the bars in New Orleans and getting a little plate of food when you're in there drinking. They weren't going to give you some crawdad or shrimp expensive stuff. They were going to give you something they could afford to give away.
Right.
And that just gets in your taste buds and stays there, you know.
It's so delicious and so rich.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little about the recipe?
Yeah, I will. Absolutely. You sear the turkey necks and duck fat, remove it from the rondeau, and add a Trinity, Holy Trinity.
And Rick has discussed that at length on this program.
Well, good. So yeah. I don't have to then.
Well, no, please do.
Update us.
Yeah, okay, okay. Well, it's just a Creole mirepoix. You know, it's celery and it is onions and bell peppers.
Yeah, and I tell any of my cooks, if I see a carrot near that food, you're fired.
Yeah.
It will not be a carrot.
Grab your knives. You're done.
Go. No carrots in Creole mirepoix.
Right. And it's hard to, in the state of Louisiana, to have food without Trinity. Mm. And so this adds a flavor profile to food. It makes it interesting. It's, you know, it's the southern food in general is delicious, but Louisiana has its own identity for sure.
Great melting pot, you know.
Yeah, a lot of ethnicities. Influence. The West Indies have a lot to do with it, and so we simmer the turkey necks in just a chicken stock with Trinity and okra and
for how long?
Hours, all day, man.
Yeah,
all day, and then you remove. Well, you don't want the turkey necks to go too long because you still want to pull that meat off them. Then you put it back in. And let it continue to simmer. Add your roux, and just a little bit of roux, not a dark roux, really, like you would with a gumbo, and a lot of onions.
Mm.
You caramelize the heck out of those onions. I'm not going to cuss on this.
That's
show,
all right.
Don't
you
worry.
Have a podcast. You can say whatever you want.
You see, I cuss on that, so I'm not going to here.
Right, you
and
are.
That's for Pete Lindstrom. dark roux is not in here. This is just a little bit of a light roux, so it still moves around. Maybe. Quantity, you know, to help with that, and the crawdad cornbread here,
which is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tell us about that one. That's something you don't get in Albany all that often.
No.
In fact, I've never had it before. Nor have I had smothered turkey necks before. But it was a shelter.
You haven't lived, my friend.
Yeah,
no, I think that's true.
Got to get out of the studio.
Brother.
Tell us about the crawdad bread.
Well, crawdad season just started.
Yeah.
And it's been cold in Louisiana, so a lot of people have been nervous, but they're getting it done.
Yeah.
And you get fresh crawfish. You make a crawfish stock with the shell, and you add a little bit of that crawfish stock to your cornmeal with, guess, more Trinity, and just a little bit of duck fat and milk, and it's really actually simple. Just continue. And cast iron's a must. And unfortunately for some people, this isn't the best thing to put in there, but cheese.
Why is that? Well, I suppose.
Yeah, but it loves cheese.
It loves cheese, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys, you know, I hear some of these Food Network guys like Scott Conan saying fish and cheese should never be on the same plate. And
really?
There are parts of Italy where that's the rule, but in the rest of the world, hello, can 1 million Coquilles Saint-Jacques be wrong? I mean, it's like fish and cheese. It works.
Absolutely.
I've done a very similar dish with lobster.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Connecticut.
Right.
And, you know, we do things with lobster. I've made lobster polenta, lobster corn pudding, things like that. Once you get that stock flavor and you mix it with cornmeal, the sweetness of the corn, the sweetness of the shellfish, they're heaven together.
You know, it's winter here, obviously, and this food to me seems like classic. You'd have it on a winter day, but yet it's from a nice warm climate.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I think, actually, the way it goes with that, I think you see it a lot with Latino food as well. In areas that are blazing hot, they're usually going to have spicy food to make you sweat, which cools you down.
Oh, you make
yeah,
it
all around the equator. That's where the hot food lives, and they all live happy lives. I teach a lot of people about how to eat hot food. And, you know, nothing here is super hot. Well, a lot of people say, I can't eat hot food. And I'm like, yes, you can. You just need to know what to eat it with. One of the secrets of eating hot food, I'm going to get scientific.
Cold beer?
Cellulose.
Cellulose?
It's in the okra. It's in the green beans. It's in cabbage. It's in mangoes. It's in papayas. It's in, because capsicum, which is what makes hot peppers hot, binds with cellulose and travels through your body in a nice, comfortable little a luxury train and comes right out. And you don't have distress from it. And you notice anywhere where you eat, where hot food is eaten, there's a lot of cellulose combined with it.
Huh. Never realized.
Slaws, okra, sweet potatoes, mangoes, papayas, all those things help you eat hot food. Because how could people in probably way more than half the world's population eats hot food every day? If it made you sick, they wouldn't do it, because the peasants are always right. They figure out what works.
You know, I'll get indigestion at a drop of a hat. Spicy food never makes me have any agita at all.
Bad fat is what gives it to you. That stuff that's in those chain donuts and stuff, boy, that stuff will wreck
me. Why would you think, Rick Orlando, that I would eat chain donuts?
I don't know.
He was looking right at you.
Yeah, he was, man. Yeah, he was. Yep. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Hugh, you mentioned roux. Orlando's got a burn from roux. Tell us about that one.
Well, when you're making roux for gumbo, it's a combination of fat and flour that you cook slowly, and you can get different degrees of color, right?
Yeah.
So like a light blonde roux, if you cook it for 15 or 20 minutes, you use that for an etouffee or something like the turkey necks. And then it gets, as you continue to cook it and stir it and cook it and stir it, it'll get to like almost like a peanut butter color, and you can get a deeper, nuttier flavor. And then it kind of turns to like a mahogany color, which is getting close for a gumbo, maybe a seafood gumbo. But then when I'm doing my swamp gumbo, because I've got gator and duck in there, I want to get it almost to the color of like chocolate fudge.
Yeah.
Really dark. But you can't cook it fast. You got to cook it slow. But it gets up to be about 450 to 500 degrees. I use duck fat. I've seen people use everything from butter to Crisco to margarine. Butter will burn on you. The full saturated duck fat or chicken schmaltz is the best for
it. So it's high temperature?
It'll hold temperatures. It stays stable. But when it gets hot, be careful. It's like caramel, very similar to caramel. And of course, you know, I had a knucklehead cook stick a ladle in the roux. And of course, ladles are rounded at the bottom. So through displacement theory, a big glob of it flew in the air.
Mm.
And kind of like in slow motion, it's like someone throwing a boomerang at you. I was like, no. And it caught me.
And that's the burn, you know, that keeps on giving, too.
I got to say, that's an open wound.
Yeah.
Just
well, you know, what was funny is I stuck it under the cold water, and the roux that was on it was so hot that the water just steamed and disappeared for a couple minutes.
All right. We're going to take a break here. Do you need any antibiotics?
I put a little silver on it. It's good.
All right. Fair enough. Let's take a break here, Zach. We'll call the meds. 800-348-2551 is the number if you want to talk Mardi Gras with Rick Orlando and Hugh Horner. We'll get to the calls and the emails coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Coldham & Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, cnharchitects.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, offering conference spaces, lodging, and family activities, silverbay.org. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no-moo dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com. And Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering.
Well, we've applied a cold compress to Rick Orlando's burn. I think he'll survive the program. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Hugh Horner and Rick Orlando here to talk Mardi Gras with you on a Food Friday. 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And gentlemen, this one came in from Adrian in New Paltz. Please detail essential ingredients. A grocery store that I won't mention by name sells a cooked Cajun crawfish, and I know this is key. Suggest others like andouille sausage or other fish and veggies. And that's from Adrian in New Paltz.
Well, I'm right off the bat, catfish, lady. You need some catfish in there.
Okay.
And
can you get that at local stores?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can get American. You want to buy American catfish.
Why?
You really do.
Where else can you get it?
Well, a lot of it comes from little cesspools in Asia.
Oh,
so
really?
You want to try to
even over
American
here you
catfish?
Get that?
Oh yeah, most of the catfish you'll find is imported. Ask for domestic. If you go to, well, they underwrite, so I can say go to Finn, your fishmonger up here, because they will bring in what you want. You go a couple days in advance and say, can you bring me in some of the all natural, no chemical American catfish? It'll show up, and it's delicious.
So that's one of the key things that you need to have.
I in my opinion, we get catfish right now from the Chesapeake Bay, and it's a saltwater catfish.
This is for jambalaya, by the way.
They're the blue catfish. Yeah, they're good. They cook up really, really well. They can take the high heat, and in fact, when some fish, like redfish, will tend to do it, when you start breaking it down in a jambalaya, it'll disappear. Mm-hmm. But cat can take it. You know, if you just cut it and, you know, don't break it down really small, leave it sort of whole and throw it in there at the end when it's simmering, throw it in there raw, right? And then cover it. Don't touch that pot for about 20 minutes. It'll still be there.
And catfish smothers good. The other thing is Gulf shrimp.
Oh, really?
And the same place I mentioned before, you can get American Gulf shrimp and the flavor is not anything like, I mean, you can get Carolina shrimp also. But again, most of the shrimp you're going to encounter in a supermarket is going to be imported from Asia, and they're farmed, and they don't really have any flavor. The idea of shrimp, it's supposed to have that iodine, magnesium flavor, that beautiful, minerally deliciousness, and real Gulf shrimp, which are available at Finn and other places. Okay, you guys pay me later, okay?
Yeah, right? What is this? This is public radio. Come on, man.
Well, I know they underwrite.
So, by the way, you did bring shrimp.
I did.
And the what do you call the sauce?
So that is a classic dish. You know, there's a great book, The History of a Restaurant, called Tujacques, Tujaques.
Which like is Tupac?
It's right across from, what's the beignet place again? The famous beignet place. Come on, right down in New Orleans.
Dumont?
Yeah, right across from Dumont on that little strip. It's one of the oldest restaurants in New Orleans, continuously run out restaurants in New Orleans, and it's just been renovated. And there's a cookbook written about it, and they've been doing red remoulade since the 1800s.
Yeah.
And red remoulade is a dipping sauce. We use it for our blackened string beans at the restaurant all the time and on our blackened sandwiches and for classic shrimp remoulade. It's not a mayonnaise base. It's a mustard-based remoulade.
Oh, it's so good.
We're basically using Creole mustard, really good hot French Dijon mustard, fair amount of paprika, a little bit of cayenne, some spices, a little celery and onion, and then you emulsify it with we use sunflower oil, like a vegetable oil. So it gets the texture of a mayonnaise-based sauce, but there's no mayonnaise in it, and it's delicious.
You dunk
your shrimp, coat your shrimp with it completely, and just chomp them down. They're really good.
It's something, I mean, you mentioned maybe putting it on a bologna sandwich.
Yeah, right?
That's what I want to
do. Right, mix it up.
Let's go to the phones here. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Hugh Horner from Helsinki Hudson and Rick Orlando from New World Home Cooking and Mark in Massachusetts. Mark, you're on.
Yes, hello. I used to be a beer writer for a magazine, and you guys sound like and we talked about the health of beer, and you guys sound like old hippies. I could even say something to the effect that I was fired from being a beer writer because not a lot of people believe that there's a health involved in beer. It's sort of a joke, but I'd like to talk a little bit about beer with you, if you don't mind.
And, sure.
My favorite city is New Orleans, so I love listening to you guys and talking about food because it is a great city to go to. And a lot of people, if they haven't ever been there, you guys are great to promote New Orleans, that's for sure.
Cool.
Well, thanks. So what's your favorite beer from down there?
Well, I would typically look at something with a lot of carbonation in it, so it almost... maybe you can think that I'm a real beer writer when I don't say a specific beer, but I do like the characteristics of a bit of carbonation is good, and it's good for your stomach. It goes along with food a lot better than if you started to drink just ale. So I would tend to think a beer is better than an ale. We drink a lot of ales around here, but when you have a nice, good carbonated beer, boy, that makes a good combination with a lot of foods.
Yeah, you know, if you get down there, there's a lot of microbrews down there like there are here that don't make their way up to this area.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a local, you're going to drink Dixie and Catfish, right? Dixie beer and Catfish.
That's
under
right.
A tree. You sit under a tree and Catfish sandwich and Dixie beer. But I like Black and Voodoo's and other commercial beer from New Orleans.
Yeah, you can get Black and Voodoo up here.
Right, and it's a good food beer. It's great with gumbo. It works great with gumbo, you know?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you for the compliment of being called an old hippie.
Yeah, right.
That's a first, and I take that to heart.
I'm a young hippie, thank you.
I'm old school, man. Abita.
Yeah, no. Good to hear you. And I miss that. I mean, because, you know, and it's a little bit more laid back than it is up here, I think. It's just tough to take time off and think about beer and think about nice foods like you're talking about today.
You'd be amazed how often I think about beer.
Let me ask you a question. Has any of you ever had Purple Haze, Abita's Purple Haze?
Yep, I've had that.
Yeah, of course.
And what do you think of that?
I like it.
It's flavored beer.
Yeah.
Did I tell you when I put my Purple Haze hot sauce out in the 90s, they tried to sue me?
Really?
So you've been toe-to-toe with them.
Hey, Mark, thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the number. We go over to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on.
That was quick, Ray. Hey, Ray.
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm going to give a little suggestion, a little tip, how you can eat the same crawfish. I read an article in Yankee Magazine years ago. You can eat the same lobster three times over.
What?
Three times over, my friend.
There's no regurgitation involved, is there?
No, there what?
All right, never mind. Go ahead.
No, there's not. No. This is real. You steam or boil your lobster. Don't throw away that water you used to boil or steam it with. You're going to need it. You eat the lobster. You take all the scraps. You throw it back in the pot. You simmer it for a while, and you strain everything out. You got yourself a beautiful stock to make lobster or crawfish chowder or whatever else you want with it. And you take all the little bits and pieces you strained out through the cheesecloth or sieve or whatever. You put them on a cookie sheet in the oven, dry them up. And you run them through a blender. And you strain out the largest bits. You know, you want a fine powder left mostly. You take that and you mix it in some butter you melt, and you've got lobster or crawfish butter.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it worked, boss.
Works, yeah.
Three times over.
What is the famous French sauce, Nantua sauce, where you
anything.
Take the shells, puree
everything.
And heavy cream?
Yeah, all the flavors in
tomato.
There.
Puree
hey,
the
man.
Whole sucker.
Thanks,
yeah.
Jim. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Our number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Hugh Horner, you're new on the program. How did you make your way? Well, first of all, I detect from your accent you may be from Jersey, somewhere down there.
Way South Jersey.
How'd you make your way up here, man?
Oh, man, you know, women, bro.
All right.
I fell in love in New York City 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we moved. She's from the Hudson Valley, and I love the Hudson Valley. And we threw anchor full time in Hudson 8 years ago, and we raised our daughter Ruby there.
How do you like the clientele at the restaurants?
Oh, it's cool, man. Everyone's real, real chill. We have all walks of life. We have we're lucky.
Yeah,
I'm blessed every day to enjoy my job as much as I do. And let me be very clear. I would be nothing without the rest of these guys that work with me.
Well, that's a good thing to
say. I mean, Dan Quickenden, Austin Sullivan, Deborah McDowell, Mark Schaffler, and Cameron Melville. I'm just one in an army.
Well, we have talked on this program to chefs who are new or recently transplanted. And I always ask them, how has what you do changed in the number of years you have been in the North Country or in the Northeast?
Well, you know, Sean Brock. And yeah, it all started really with Sean and those guys down at Husk and Charleston. They sort of put Southern food outside of New Orleans on the map. And I've seen, since I've been up north, a real desire to have interest in Southern food, which is great for me.
It's the second time in 3 weeks that sentence has been said. Jasper Alexander was on, and he said the exact same thing. Why?
Maybe
it's delicious.
Just, yeah, and you know, it's affordable. It's not too hard. You know, it's not full. It's not like five pan pickups. It's really a lot of gumbo pots and you know stuff you can do at home. You can set it. You know, your kids can be outside playing. You can get a gumbo going. You know, and let it simmer all day. So there's a lot of, I guess, simplicity.
I was gonna say, I think there's a little bit of a backlash to going out to dinner for three bites of fish with some microgreens and little pearl drops of sauce. People want a meal. Southern food represents a meal. It's not the only food that does, but Southern food represents a meal. You know, at New World, we like to say we cook food from warm places because we do South Asian, Indian,
yeah,
Mediterranean, Southern, Mexican, Latin American. But all those foods are hearty, but the flavors are bright. You know, so you can have hearty food and fall asleep halfway through the meal, or you can have hearty food where you start dancing halfway through the meal. And Southern food is like that. And most food from warm climates like that. They're stimulating, they're exciting, and they're delicious, and you don't want to stop eating them.
You know, Rick, we've talked on this program, on the many times you've been on, about you're out to serve what you think is good food and support local agriculture and everything else, but there's a component of education and educating people who come in about different kinds of food.
We call that enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
We're here to enlighten your palate.
Do you agree with that, Hugh?
Of course.
Yeah. Turn people on to good stuff, man. It's like if you're a musician and you hear a new band, you want to turn your friends on to the band. It's the same thing for a chef. You come up with a dish you love, you want to turn your friends on to. Check this out. This is awesome. Your cooks get excited, your waiters get excited, and then your customers get excited.
I think to add to the first question, though, as well is, and I think Rick will agree with me here, is the availability of Southern products now in the Northeast in just the past 10 years is amazing to me. I mean, the farmers of Columbia County, they're growing okra. Mm-hmm. I got collards, turnip greens. I mean, everything that I would have in the South is grown in the Columbia County, New York, but obviously in a very smaller window.
Yeah.
But it's getting easier to cook it.
You think they're doing that just because you're here?
Well, geez.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a nobody, man. No, not me.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Mardi Gras coming up. We talk Mardi Gras food and the like with Rick Orlando and Hugh Horner. Are you heading south for Mardi Gras, Rick?
Not this year. I'll be in the kitchen.
You've been, though, right?
Yes, but I'm not going back until late October. I like to go around Halloween when it's fun, festive, a little cool, and not so packed, but it's good.
What's the best story you guys can tell about Mardi Gras on the radio?
I don't think I can say that.
Nothing? You can't say a thing?
Mardi Gras?
Yeah. Nothing on the air?
Nothing. Absolutely zero on the air.
Mardi Gras doesn't necessarily mean debauchery, you know.
Oh, really?
No, it doesn't. Well. It's actually a day of reflection and you kind of let your spirits fly before Lent starts. That's the whole idea. I mean, I don't know if people know this or not, but Mardi Gras is a Catholic tradition.
Fat
and it's
Tuesday.
Based on, the day before, right before Ash Wednesday, feeling your oats before it starts. But in New Orleans, there are a lot of the parishes, they have kids Mardi Gras.
Oh,
there's
like
a lot of family and church-oriented Mardi Gras.
Kids Mardi Gras,
it's all about
the
parade. It's all about the parade. If you go to New Orleans, there's a Mardi Gras museum. You go to the museum, you can see the whole history of how it developed from the 1700s down there. And it's one of the things that people in New Orleans kind of, I don't want to say resent, but have a little chip on their shoulder.
That everyone comes in?
And come in and wreck the place, yeah. You know, I've been to New
Texans.
Orleans. And New Yorkers. And I'll tell you funny, here's a good story. I was down in New Orleans for Halloween a couple of years ago. And, you know, Halloween, they have a nice parade. It's decent. It's not crazy. But this time it was crazy. And there were people, you know, doing the usual beer and in the street and all the other bad things that make Mardi Gras seem like it's a savage affair, which it's not. And I said, what is going on? And I realized the New York Giants were in town to play the Saints that Sunday. So there are busloads of people from New York and
so
Long Island
New Yorkers
coming down
to
ruin
it.
It's just this mindset that, hey, I'm in New Orleans now, I'm going to go crazy. You can have a really good time without going crazy. So we left the French Quarter, went down to Frenchman Street, which is where the best music is anyway, watch music and watch one of my old cooks, Josh T-Bone Stone, who used to cook with me at Justin's.
Wow.
He was planning.
I didn't know you cooked at Justin's.
That's where I started my thing up here. And he sent me a Facebook, said, come see me at, he talks a lot like you actually, come see me at Checkpoint Charlie's at 4 p.m. I'm like, 4 p.m? So Checkpoint Charlie's is a bar, grill, live music, and laundromat that's open 24 hours a day.
Of course it is.
Yeah. why wouldn't it be?
You know, wash your clothes, watch a band,
Sure. Get
a po' boy and a couple of Dixies, you know.
Makes sense.
But
yeah, it sure does.
There. I like the approach to life in New Orleans. I like the fact that people take care of each other. They're really friendly, but you can have a good time.
And they don't do that here?
You can get it. You certainly can't get a drink at a drive-thru.
Well, okay.
Okay?
But you didn't say that. You said they take care of each other.
We all take care of each other.
Yeah.
But I think there's a great social fabric to that community down there, which is really, really fun and really nice. And it crosses racial lines, crosses ethnic lines. People are proud of where they're from, and they really welcome you. I think it's one of the most welcoming cities in the country, really.
Absolutely. And just to touch base on what you're saying about more of a children's-oriented Mardi Gras, the first Mardi Gras wasn't in New Orleans. It was in Mobile, Alabama, and that was probably 1703 or something. So to this day, people with children in New Orleans will take the ferry to Mobile for the chiller version, because Mobile still has a Mardi Gras. It's just a little smaller.
Are they resentful? So we came up with this one first?
I think they are, to be honest with you. But I think they also pride themselves in having it a little, less
crazy.
Intoxicated.
Yeah.
And apparently, if you really want to have fun, my friend Bruce says you have to go to Trinidad for Carnival, because Carnival and Mardi Gras are the same
thing. And that's coming up, too, yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Oh, yeah, same. Carnival
and Trinidad is supposed to be one of the most wild musical extravaganzas you'll find.
So have you done that one?
I haven't done that. It's on my list. Let's go.
I'm down.
Hit Trini.
I'll go tomorrow.
Some curry, some roti, some doubles, and we'll
Our number to call is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, and Hugh Horner is here. Rick Orlando is here. Hugh, you have a podcast, Eat Food or Die. Tell us about that.
I was on community radio about 5 years ago, and it was called Eat Food or Die, and I would interview local farmers and chefs, and just when Hudson was booming.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of wanted to go out on my own and talk music, because that's my second love.
Really? You play?
No, I don't play. Does that make a whole lot of sense?
No, continue. Sorry I asked.
Just give him the cowbell. Just give him the cowbell. He's fine with the cowbell.
Hey, I'll rock a cowbell. Anyways, so I work at a music venue.
Yeah.
And I just like to let people hear bands that are coming through and give a little description, rip a couple songs. They're like 30 minutes, and they're just fun. Peter Lindstrom produces it. He's the head sound tech.
Yeah.
So it's done right. He just turns the mic on and cleans it up for me.
How many have you done?
Oh, man, this is 3 seasons, I guess, off the top of the head, maybe 20, 25.
So you have a real season.
I do.
When does the season begin for a podcast?
Whenever the busy season at work ends.
Ah, so hopefully not that often, right?
You know what? We're having a tough time getting them done.
That's cool, man. How do people go and actually hear the podcast?
The best way is either to just go right to the Helsinki website.
Okay.
Because we stream it there. And SoundCloud is our main sort of portal, if you will, because it notifies you if you start following it when new ones are coming up.
And it's Eat Food or Die, Hugh Horner. And we'll take a break here. Rick Orlando is here as well. We talk Mardi Gras. We'll take more of your calls at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Veterinary Hospital of Laura Lynn Brown, Turner's Falls, Massachusetts, providing comprehensive care for dogs and cats for over 25 years. New clients welcome, drlauralynnbrown.com. The Egremont Barn, presenting Annie Guthrie on Sunday, February 3rd. Dinner begins at 5 p.m. Tickets and information at theegremontbarn.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. And River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValley.coop.
Mardi Gras edition of Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551, the number, 800-348-2551. Chef Rick Orlando is here from New World Home Cooking, and Chef Hugh Horner of Helsinki Hudson. And great to have these guys here, and they brought some great food. This one came in via email from Alan and Colony. Mardi Gras menu. I always do something for Mardi Gras. Problem is, my wife is one of those pesky vegetarians. For her, I am thinking dirty rice with veggie crumbles instead of meat. For me, it'll be chicken and sausage jambalaya. What do the pros think?
Dirty rice is going to be hard without chicken livers, brother.
Yeah.
Because that's what's...
I've made vegetarian dirty rice, but you got it. Like, I've smoked tempeh and put... I've done...
There was a lot of work involved in making it.
Smoked onions. Yeah. You know what else is good? And we make it all the time. I make a vegetarian version of green gumbo.
Yeah, I was going to say okra gumbo, man.
Yeah, green gumbo.
Yeah. Tell us. Give us a basic recipe.
I make a really strong veggie stock. And when I make it, I smoke onions to get a smoky flavor so I don't have to use any pork or fat. I put shredded collard greens, kale, mustard greens, okra, Sometimes I'll throw green beans in there, lima beans, you know, just make a big pot of greens and a green broth, but with that great Creole flavor. Add some Cajun seasoning, make a nice light-colored roux. You could use vegetable oil for your roux, but we always make one vegan dish for Mardi Gras, aside from the blackened string beans.
Well, this is what I was
going to
say. The blackened string beans are a winner every time, and that recipe is right on your website.
Yeah, you can get the recipe everywhere, and everyone's imitated it. And you know what? I've been cooking for 40 years, and I made a lot of things, but it's really cool to have a dish that you actually invented that other people give you credit for elsewhere, which is weird because, you know, who invents a dish? That was an accident.
Have you tried those, Hugh?
I have. They're delicious. I
why don't you steal them?
Well, I threw it. Well, hey, you might see them on as a special.
Exactly.
Daryl Hall wanted it. When I did Daryl's House, the show, and he wanted me to make, he loves those. He wanted me to make them, and he goes, I think I want to put them on the menu here. And I said, so how much money do you make every time Sarah smiles on the radio?
Yeah.
I said about 8 cents. I said, I'll take 8 cents in order forever. Okay.
That'd be cool.
800-348-2551. Green gumbo's a good way to go. The other things you can do, you know, you could take those great flavors, those seasonings from Creole food, and you can use them on vegetables, like big slices of rutabaga. I've done blackened rutabaga steaks, where I'll steam the rutabaga till it's just tender, rub it with some veg oil, crust them with the red remoulade. Big, hearty, turnips. You can get a nice meaty experience with them. And then also mushrooms. I've done some pretty cool dishes with stuffed mushrooms. Instead of using crab, if you can get your hands on lion's mane mushrooms, you can kind of imitate crab and make like those. Cause
they can be meaty and satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, don't forget the filet. The filet is sassafras, and that adds a lot of flavor, and it can also be a way to bind your okra gumbo without using a roux.
Yep. Mm.
So there you go, vegetarian
and gluten-free.
/gluten-free.
There you go.
Which is a word you hear a lot.
You do hear that on this program. You hear it a lot.
Our
number is 800-348-2551. Rick Orlando is here, and Chef Hugh Horner from Helsinki Hudson. Let's go back to the phones. Laurie in Poughkeepsie. Laurie, you're on.
Yes, hi. Just first of all, I love Vox Pop, especially on Food Friday.
Well, thank you.
I agree with Chef Orlando about Frenchman being a much better street for jazz than Bourbon Street. And the other thing that I just want to say is that I'm going to New World Cooking tonight for the First Friday buffet.
Oh, good.
I have reservations for that tonight. I'm really looking forward to that.
I've been cooking up a storm, believe it or not. Good.
How can you be cooking up a storm? You're here.
I was in the kitchen for 12 hours yesterday and 4 hours this morning before I came up here and got a flat.
Oh, I can't wait. I love Indian food and I love Indian buffets, so I'm really looking forward to that tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. A lot of aromas in the kitchen right now.
Let's hope you make it back
in one piece there, Rick Orlando. You had a little tire blowout on the way here.
I'll be fine.
You made the show, though. That's a real professional for a semi-professional anyway.
Trooper, baby.
Kim in Adams, Massachusetts. Kim, you're on.
Hi there. I'm a Southern girl. I've been up here now for so many years. And the thing that I miss the most up here is the fact that you can't get a lot of fresh Gulf shrimp and things like that. And I'm wondering where the guys get theirs from.
I use a business named Sea to Table.
Yeah.
And they're Sea to Table, and they actually do restaurants and they do residential. You can go, you can get an account with them. Am I getting checks from Sea to Table right now?
No.
Okay.
I'm getting very uncomfortable now.
With the Dimon family for years.
But Sea to Table is a great business to use. We get a lot of shrimp, a lot of crawdad, a lot of
blue crab.
You can get
your
blues. Yep. Mm-hmm. You can get everything.
Now, you're in Adams, so, I mean, if you're ever in Albany, I did mention Finn, your Finn Fishmonger, but I know that they will, you give them a call.
Is that what you said?
F-I-N.
Okay.
Is the name?
Oh, Finnmonger. Okay.
Yeah, Finn, your fishmonger. But if you call them, say you want to do something on the weekend, you call them on a Monday and say, I want real Gulf shrimp, or they can get it. And there's also great online sources now.
You know, thank you, Kim, for the call. I don't understand how we could not find great seafood around here regularly when we are so close to Maine and New England and all the great fisheries.
Well, just in the last couple of years, there have been some new fish markets. There's one in Latham, there's Finn, Gattaletto's down in New Paltz has been there forever. But the fish market was kind of became a thing of the past, and fish became a supermarket thing. Now, I know one of the big supermarket chains based in Maine, whose name I won't mention, you know,
okay.
I mentioned names,
yeah.
But they bring in really good Maine seafood all the time. But in general, you know, they're looking at a price point. And the imported stuff's always a lot cheaper than the domestic stuff. So they don't know if Americans want to pay in a supermarket what you're going to pay for this stuff. But I think, that, you know, fresh seafood from this country is awesome. And it's you should be buying it. You should be eating it. When I do my cooking classes, I scream, no Asian shrimp. You know, I just teach them. Just don't eat it. Doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah, I think something else that about at least going to the market that a lot of people really don't realize is that a lot of this southern fish is running all the way to Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a rarity to see, you know, certain fish from the south in these northern fish markets. Delaware is just down the corner.
You betcha.
So, you know, it's a lot more accessible, I think, to, like, you know, chefs. Like Rick and myself, but I don't know Fins, but sounds like I need to check them out.
Our number here
is... Find a fish market and talk to them. The most important thing is to introduce yourself. Say, listen, I like fish. I'm looking to get this. Any fish market, a real fish market, will say, I can get you that. It may take a few days. You plan ahead and you get it, but it makes a big difference.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Chef Rick Orlando and Chef Hugh Horner. Tell us about them. Now, I'll tell you, I've not been to Helsinki Hudson. Tell us about your regular menu down there.
Well, we have, you've never been there?
No, man. I don't get out.
Serious?
I got five children. I never leave the house.
You have five kids?
Yeah, and I stay.
Enough
I,
said.
I,
no,
stay
no,
at, I stay at the radio station no, or at home. That's it.
That's enough said, yeah. Dude. I got you. I'm picking up what you're laying down. listen, Helsinki, our menu is, it's really old school. We do barbecue and fish camp. And the whole philosophy of our food is to do old recipes with elevated ingredients. So we do elevated soul food.
Yeah.
And we take our vegetables extremely seriously. We do Carolina barbecue, Texas barbecue. We do a fish camp. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's a style of restaurant in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
And any entree you order, you're allowed to get two vegetables.
Right.
So it's sort of like the old school meat and two, meat and three concept done with local produce, sustainable seafood, and, you know, properly barbecued.
I love meat in two and meat in three.
Yeah, man. It's the way to go.
Yeah.
And I think guests like it personally because you get to kind of create your own dish. You're not told what you're eating. There's a lot of restaurants nowadays that you can't even say remove something.
Really?
Chefs are freaking out. They're losing it.
Prima donnas? No.
A little bit of that.
We've always let them. I always tell them, man, we're here to make you happy.
Maybe it's the folks on this radio show, but there are not too many prima donnas who I've talked to as far as the...
You got a good batch here, buddy.
Well, so far.
They also don't get too far.
Well, you make a point. If you're not customer service, you're not going to last too long.
Throwing fits like a little brat, you know, is you don't get too far.
You can only do that if you're the greatest. You want to go to Thomas Keller's restaurant, don't sub something out.
Right.
You know, true. The rest of us, it's like, you know, forget it. It's like... Never mind.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551, the number, and Sarah in Poughkeepsie. Sarah.
Hi there. Thank you for the great program.
Thank you.
And I'm really excited to try your food. Could you please tell me the name of your restaurant? I heard Helsinki Hudson. I just joined a few minutes ago on air. So if you could tell me where you are located.
Okay, well, let's start with you.
Helsinki's in Hudson, New York, 405 Columbia Street. Where are you? Poughkeepsie? Is that where that's from?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're not too far.
Should be able to
find it. Just right up 9. Go.
No, I'll just keep coming north. Right?
Yeah, just keep coming north.
Okay, and then...
And then I've got two sources for my food. One is the original New World Home Cooking Kitchen and Bar, which is right between Saugerties and Woodstock on Route 212, so just off of exit 20.
Where the hipsters go.
And then in Albany, we have New World Bistro Bar on Delaware Avenue. Which has been open, it's going on 9 years now.
Yeah.
So I'm running two kitchens 50 miles apart.
All
so
right.
Fun.
Can you give me phone numbers?
Or, how about websites?
Know,
websites
so
are good.
People?
Yeah. Can you do the web, Sarah? Okay.
Sure.
So go ahead, Rick.
If you just go to rickorlando.com and there's no K in Rick, you'll find all the links to all the restaurants there and catering.
Rickorlando.com with it's RIC, Rick.
And
thank you.
And it's simple as Helsinki.com.
Helsinki.com.
Oh, Helsinki Hudson. I apologize. Helsinki,
yes, they'll take you to Finland that way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Sarah. We appreciate it. Our number here, 800-348-2551. Which barbecue do you prefer, Hugh, Louisiana or Texas?
Well, that would be Texas.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
My mother's home state.
Yeah.
And
did you grow up there?
No, I grew up in Georgia and North Carolina.
Okay.
And all my family's from Louisiana and Texas.
See, I like Carolina barbecue a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I do too.
And I like Memphis barbecue a lot.
And as me as well. And you know what is interesting is they all have a piece of the pie. They have each one of them has said, I'm going to do ribs, mm-hmm. I'm going to do pulled pork, I'm going to do brisket.
Right.
And this is how we're going to move on with our lives.
And have you discovered since you've been in the Northeast that people really in the Northeast love barbecue, but they love sauce?
They do love sauce. And we had issues with Eastern North Carolina style barbecue because of the vinegar. Mm-hmm. And I'm from the western part of the state, which is tomato based. And there's a humongous, in-state beef with that.
We've done that particular riff on this program.
Mustardy, South Carolina.
Well, I'm from Charlotte. So South Carolina, you throw a football at it. So it's a real crossroads of, three different styles of barbecue. Yeah. And I prefer where I'm not from, the eastern part of North Carolina. I love the vinegar. It cleans.
Grass is always greener on the other side?
Maybe a little bit of that, but also I think the vinegar sort of enhances the pork. I think the sugar hides it. And I think the vinegar and the spice sort of enhances it and lets pork be pork, if that makes any sense.
Got the synergy of fat and acid. It's perfect. They work together.
You've talked about that for a long time.
Fat and acid, man. A little acidity. Yeah.
Fat and acid. That sounds like a punk band. Right?
There you go. And
not helpful. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Let's go over to James and Saugerties. James, you're on. Hello, James. We can hear you. Go ahead.
I wanted to thank you. I know you're over 15 years since I had my daughter's bat mitzvah. And I was thinking of going tonight for that wonderful meatloaf. But now I hear and listen to the radio, I realize it's Mardi Gras. I'll probably see you this evening with my buddy Eric.
All right. Well, our Mardi Gras menu starts next week.
Oh, good.
But tonight's our community buffet, so you can come in and get some Indian food, or you can get my ever-loving, legendary, smoked Gouda-stuffed, bacon-wrapped, maple-glazed, local meat meatloaf with bourbon, ham hock gravy, mashed potatoes,
when are you going to bring this to the program?
Come
when
get
are you
that.
Going to bring it? Next time
right,
we're
my
on,
God.
Please bring that. It's crazy.
Yes, it is.
And
it is crazy that he did not bring it today.
He's been bragging about this every show, and he never brings it once. He points me to the link on the website, and I look at it.
You drive by New World Bistro Bar on the way home. I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday. Come on in.
I actually do drive by there on the way home. All right, I'll consider it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. That's a legendary dish.
Well, it's funny because I had a couple of young cooks, including one named Zach Welton, who may be listening because he's in town.
He's not the dude who poured the roux on you, right?
No. He was Sean Brock's sous chef down at Husk for the last 2 years. He's moving to Seattle. He worked for me for about 3 years. And when he was about 22, he said, I want to make meatloaf. And we were grinding all this meat. And I said, well, let me teach you the ratio. So I taught him the ratio. Meatloaf is, you called it poor people's food. In Italian, they call it piatti poveri. But the whole idea of meatloaf is that there's a fair amount of bread in it. That's why you make meatloaf. If you were rich, you wouldn't make meatloaf, right? You'd make a hamburger.
I would.
So mine's nice and creamy and delicious. But I said, let's stuff it. So we make a little channel in the middle and put a big, thick log of smoked Gouda in it. Let's make sure it doesn't dry out. So we wrap it with good smoked bacon. I said, let's make sure that bacon is nice and sweet. So we brush it with local maple syrup. And so we make our gravy. We just throw a bunch of ham hocks in a pot and make a stock and throw a bottle of bourbon in there and then thicken them with a little duck fat roux. So that's how we make it.
That is ridiculous. Do not bring this up again unless you're going to bring some for all of us.
But the secret is you puree some of the ham hock right into the gravy. Put them right into the blender and whiz that ham hock into the gravy.
You're a cruel man, Rick Orlando. Let's go to Tommy in Kingston. Tommy, you're on.
Hi, guys. This is Tommy. And I was curious as to if you guys had any suggestions for some Mardi Gras food, maybe some appetizer type stuff that included cooking with beer.
Oh, is this Tommy Keegan?
It is.
Ah, I recognize you. How are you, Tommy? We'll cook with your beer.
Hey, man, long time no see.
Yeah.
I love both of your restaurants. And I'm always looking for some good ideas to steal. You know, they say, you know, the good ones borrow and the great ones steal.
Tommy's so, one of the great beer men, Keegan Ales.
Oh yeah.
Listen, I use your beer. I use your IPA, your Hurricane Kitty, in my boil for my crawfish.
Oh, okay.
I put the beer in there and my Cajun seasoning, some lots of lemons, crawfish stock, and that's what I use for when I do my boils, either shrimp or crawfish boils. You got any beer dishes?
Well, I think that, you know, it depends how, if you have something, of some sort of fryer.
I could probably work that out, yeah.
I think that dark beer beignets are something to talk about.
You ever make crawfish beignets?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, do like
a nice crawfish.
Yeah,
right
put a crawdad dark beer beignet. Oh, boy.
All right. Dan. Yeah. Tommy, go ahead.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Thanks, man. A lot, and appreciate the call very much. All right, we're just about out of time here on this program. A lot of fun. Once again, Hugh Horner, how do we find out more about your venue, Helsinki Hudson?
You got to go to the website.
Yeah.
HelsinkiHudson.com. And what it does, it shows you all the bands that are coming. And we love music there, and we take food seriously. And the service, everyone that works there is having fun, and that shows.
And who's going to be there next week?
Oh, it's Glenn David Andrews, February 9th.
Yeah.
He's incredible. And then Sunday is the Soul Brass Band.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're Mardi Gras to the, you know.
That's beautiful.
To the T, baby.
Be careful. You made it through the whole show without saying
anything. I didn't cuss.
All right, good job. Rick Orlando,
yeah.
How do we find out more about New World?
You can go to newworldhomecooking.com, newworldbistrobar.com, or rickorlando.com and find them all. We'll be cooking Mardi Gras, and we didn't get a band this year because I don't know why, but I make the best mix. I build a mix for you.
You do that. And you also play. When's your next gig?
We're playing up here at the Low Beat, February 24th.
Oh, we'll have to come to that
nice
one.
Nice little noisy show.
Well, thanks for being here. Support comes from the Black Sheep, Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever, agstewardship.org. Gloriosa and Company, hosting weddings at the Curtis House in Ashfield, Massachusetts, with on-site guest accommodations, local floral design, and weekly summer flower CSA shares also available, GloriosaCo.com. And Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts, now crafting black garlic and black garlic products in small batches, BlackGarlicSeaSalt.com for more information. Thanks again to Rick Orlando and Hugh Horner for being with us today. Thanks to you for listening and for the calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, the fun drive starts Monday at 6 a.m. Hey, you can always pledge now, WAMC.org.